There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all point bulletins. We'll set roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time to touch.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
How's your weekend?
Didn't hear it, Lou. You got to get your audio levels right, Lou.
How's your weekend?
My weekend? This is like Wednesday. Why would you play a week? Yeah, it's Wednesday.
It's like you got a problem with concentration.
This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you live right now. It is Wednesday. Is that 5th? The letters seem to be getting smaller on my computer calendar. January 5th, 2011. We are coming to you from the hillsides, the rolling hills of the Sierra Nevada Mountains, just outside Sequoia National Park, in the nice little commonwealth of Kaweah. K-A-W-E-A-H. People have emailed me, what's Kaweah? It's the Indian word for the sound crows make, or a raven. I get both, raven, crow. But you hear them out here all the time, Kaweah! And then they make this weird gurgly sound that I'm not going to duplicate on the radio. But that's where we are. if you find Visalia, California, and go, that would be east about 50 miles, you'll find us up there. Oh, Minuteman, glad you got our package. yeah, I think I'm going blind when I made that comment about the calendar, but Lou's really reducing the size of the fonts on my computer. I never thought of that. I keep going to the VA for eye tests. I think I'm crazy, but it's really Lou just messing with the site. Are you squinting at me, Lou? Lou's mad-dogging me. He doesn't like it when I talk about him. He gets all weird. We didn't give him all of his medication today. Hey. He has been. You can hear him coughing in the background. It's allergy season up here. What's that on the screen over there, Lou? That doesn't look good.
No, it's not.
It's not. What happened? The computer crash?
No.
But anyway, we come to you Monday through Friday when we can. For 2 hours. 1 hour is the informal stronghold radio that we do right here on U Broadcast. And the second hour goes out over Liberty Tree Radio. And I found out today a bunch of people are picking us up. I found out today that there's somebody like 30 miles away that's been doing the same thing with kind of a lighter Christian message. And they're asking for some help. And we may go down there and see what we can do for them. But I don't think this show is going to rock and roll on something that's got a bunch of Catholic Padres on it. Olima, I got your package today too. Thank you. Oh, good. I'm glad you got it. I'm glad everybody's getting their packages. We asked for a new catalog from Major Surplus. They sent us the 2010 one again, not the 2011 one that's supposed to be coming out. So we'll keep offering stuff. The website was down. We don't know what happened. Lou moved it over, so now you just go to dutchjones.info. Is that right? No, you just go to dutchjones.info, click on store, and it'll go there. Why didn't you do that?
Because I had to take a shower.
That's what I told you to do. Well, don't worry about it. The store will be up tonight or tomorrow. What is it now?
Store.dutchjones.info.
Store.dutchjones.info. Store.dutchjones.info. That's just ridiculous. That's too obnoxious and too long. DJstore.info would have been fine. Anyway, link it from dutchjones.info. We'll make it work, and that way people don't have to, like, type in all this stuff. But we need you guys to start buying stuff. Donations are $5 for the last 3 weeks, I think it is now. $5, you know, that's just not going to cut it. And it looks like the people that were going to come on in January are deciding to go someplace else. That's fine. They find a better deal somewhere else, they can do that. But we're going to continue to do what we do here. We are not going to give up. I sent out an email today to the listeners that I have email addresses on, just telling you what we want to do and what's going on and what things cost. I think I may have put in there that our monthly costs are zero. I think I screwed up. It's supposed to be $500 a month. That $500 a month would get us into a nice place and pay all the bills and all that kind of stuff. So that went out to people. If you got it, please forward it to others to get them to listen to the show. We're getting a bunch of new listeners. The pod people are amazing. We get people that are listening around the clock on here. And even though the counter doesn't look like it, I found out from you broadcast that they just do an average number of listeners. It's kind of annoying. And, actually, if you look down below under the description, you'll see a little letter I put there. If you're on the UBroadcast webpage, if you're on the UBroadcast.com /channel/the_Dutch_Jones_radio_program, so you can see the letter. I probably don't have – Mary's asking if she got the email. I probably didn't send it to you. Some emails I keep on the other one, and I haven't sent it out of there yet on the Dutch at DutchJones.info. I did this one out of the Yahoo account, and that was just like half an hour ago before I had to come out. Well, about a half an hour before I had to come out and split wood. It's settling in here. We got some clouds coming in. It's going to snow tonight. Look at that. I don't know what you're going to do, Lou, but I'm gonna huddle up inside the house after that. Well, we've got Bible study tonight. I forgot about that. Did you get the camera set up? Good. So we've sent out that plea. We need your donations. We won't be on next month. We've paid till the middle of January for everything because we did everything in the middle of the month. And we paid for that out of our pocket and the donations that were made. Those of you that did donate, thank you. It's not like nobody's donating. I'm not going to embarrass them, but there are a cadre of like four people that have made very good donations towards the cause. And we appreciate that. And we try to send you stuff if you donate. It's not always fast because every penny we get goes in to pay the bills, and we just don't have the money to ship everything. So when we get money, we ship everything at the same time. Mary's saying, splitting wood, did you see the YouTube video of doing it with an old tire? I have no idea what you're talking about. I would like to see that. Send us the link or post the link. Anything that makes splitting wood easier, Mary, would be a great thing to share. Now, if you were listening before we went on the air, there was – oh, I got a message here. Let's see. What is going on here? I'm getting like four emails at one time. I'm on Facebook, so I'll have to do them. The other thing that went wrong today, I've just been dead sick. I haven't. You can probably hear it in my voice. I won't go into the grisly details, but I spent most of the day huddled and doing whatever I could to stay alive today. Let's see, maybe this is... I see your email there. Yeah, we'll send you a copy of that. But the song, excuse me, I'm kind of rattled today because I'm not feeling well. And all I've eaten today has been broccoli, celery, and a little bit of tuna. I'm trying to put myself on a very nice diet. And unfortunately, my body's rebelling. I don't think... Oh, Stacy's in here. Good. Stacy's saying the show is not going to be no more. Because I got to find a job and start making money if we can't pay for this stuff here. So that's why she put that in there. She's stressed out a little bit more than I am. So the song, let me get back on point. I apologize, guys. I'm just like, I had a lot happen today. Certain things didn't go through that were supposed to go through. Some things that were supposed to happen didn't happen. Just the way it goes. Other people having problems, which I'll go into a little bit. I'll talk about other people's problems. The highway, like the song. Thank you, Lou. Watch out for martial law. The highway patrol. There's only one road in here. It's Highway 198. It comes a winding mountain road around a reservoir. We found out last night, actually yesterday afternoon, that the highway patrol are stopping every car that comes up here after 10 p.m. without cause, without reason. And just pulling them over and asking to search them and harassing them. Now, one of our buddies got stopped. Now, he had nothing bad going on. But they wanted to search. He said no. And he's like, why are you doing this? He goes, well, we're stopping every car. You know, and of course, you're in that situation, so you can't, you know, I'm not going to argue alone on a dark road with a highway patrolman because he's just going to kill you and throw down a gun. But what they're doing is they're profiling, basically. Now, we got stopped on the same road after 10 o'clock. We were coming back from a drive-in movie. And they pulled us over. We smelled a popcorn, root beer, and bad drive-in movies. And the guy said we were swerving, and Stacy was not swerving. And it's strange to me that they can get away with this. People say we don't live under tyranny. And this cop basically told our friend, well, I'm doing it because I can. We catch drunk drivers, parolees with weapons, all kinds. They're fishing. They're treating everybody like a criminal to get one or two people a week so that they can boost up their arrest record. Plus, if they catch you with your insurance lapsed, it's $700 here in California. If your tags aren't up to date, it could be in the thousands now. They'll impound your car and never give it back. We live in tyranny now. An article came out today that California is the highest compliant state for seatbelts. Well, of course we are. The reason we're compliant with seatbelts, the reason I wear a seatbelt, I've never worn a seatbelt when I was a military policeman, when I was a cop, I never wore a seatbelt. One, it got in the way of me getting in and out of the car. I couldn't get to my weapon if I ever got ambushed. I didn't wear seatbelts. That's my call. I buckle my baby in, my daughter when she was a baby. I make Lou buckle in and we rub them with the foam and wrap them up and everything. But for me, I don't want to wear a seatbelt. The reason I do wear a seatbelt is I don't want to be killed on the side of the road. That's the extreme end of it. The short end of it is you get pulled over, a man with a gun extorts money from you for the state. If that is not a violation of racketeering, I don't know what is. They are willfully pulling people over without any probable cause for a seatbelt violation, or even if you have your seatbelt on, forcing us to be compliant. Forcing us to be compliant. Under threat of violence and robbery. You cannot tell me that we are not in a state of tyranny. No, they're not rounding us up and putting us in camps yet. They're slowly bleeding us. Why should they put us in a camp and make us work in a mine when we'll go work at McDonald's and every few weeks they can pull us over and get their money out of us that way? I'm going to put it out there. I hate law enforcement. There may be one or two guys, one or two good apples in a rotten barrel. I will give dispensation to them. But I will not sit by and idly excuse what they're doing. They tried this up here a few years ago right by our church. Our pastor went to the wall on it. He went to the state, the county. He went to the commandant of the highway patrol and filed lawsuits. Took out one-page ads comparing them to Nazis. It was a neat little ad. It actually came from Scriptures for America. It showed like Nazi Germany. You may go and you show me your papers and everything is clear. Then it showed like Berlin, you know, during the blockade. And it's like, as soon as you show us your papers, you may go. And then it showed a California highway patrolman and a whole car full of people scared to death. Because here's this guy with the reflective sunglasses. And he goes, if all your papers are in order and everything works out fine, we'll let you go. We live in a neo-fascist, Fabian socialist state already. You think I was controversial the last couple shows? I'm mad. I am furious at stuff I've been reading today about how they just randomly pull people over. And then it's like, God, my friend comes over and goes, you're not going to guess what happened after I hung up the phone with you. I come around the corner in Lemon Cove and this cop pointing the other way zips out. And he goes, I wasn't speeding. I was going straight. And then he asks him this question. What's your affiliations? And my friend, the guy's like, well, what do you mean by that? What are my affiliations? What does that have to do with you pulling me over to check my license and registration? Well, I'm just curious. I just want to know. These cops are pigs. Now I know why they call them pigs, because they root around. I never understood why they called them pigs. Maybe it was from the Animal Farm book, you know, that we had to read in high school. The screws were pigs. They root around until they find something. Everybody's done something. No one is without sin, right? You know. So they're going to find something, and I really honestly believe if they don't find it, they're going to put it there. Now, they let us go that night. It was funny. Stacy goes, oh, my purse and stuff's in the trunk. I got to get it out. The cop let her get out and get it. I think we had pistols or something in the trunk. Cop didn't see him. He let us go, which is legal to have pistols in the trunk, but that wouldn't have mattered. He would have pulled his gun and probably shot Stacy if he had seen pistols. And he probably would have shot me because I'd have jumped out of the vehicle and Lou would have jumped out of the vehicle. We'd all be dead and you guys would all be reading about it, not knowing our real names. And suddenly the show goes and you kind of put two and two together and you find out, wow, these people were killed near Kauai, a mother, a father, and a son. And they had guns in the trunk and their names were, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Anderson and Little Peabody. That's Lou's real name, Peabody Anderson. And nobody would give. They go, oh, well, those guys are probably drug dealers or something. We give it. We don't give it a second look anytime, do we? When we read it, not me. I look at it and go, what happened here? Why was this person stressed enough that he may have tried to run? Or why, you know, why was he shot 37 times? And it turns out, San Francisco police yesterday shot a man in a wheelchair. Now they say he stabbed an officer, I know. They're shooting bums in Fresno all the time in the back and saying they resisted. And I'm not saying a guy in a wheelchair can't fight back. Don't get me wrong. I know some guys in wheelchairs that can do some pretty amazing things. But these cops are trigger happy. These cops are militant. These cops could care less about you. All they care about is their quotas and their pensions. But how do we deal with it? I'm not saying jump out of your car and shoot them. Hasn't come to that yet. Hasn't come to that yet. Write them up. Make complaints. Every time one of these jackbooted thugs gets a complaint, it hurts their promotion capabilities. It goes in their jacket. Complain. Write some letters. You guys like to hang around on the internet all day. If you're like me, I know what I'm talking about. Locate these higher authorities and send them letters about these guys. If you see five or six highway patrolmen at the same spot all the time, find out why. Why are they concentrating law enforcement, which really they're meter maids with guns, they're asphalt pirates, as I like to call them. They work for you and me. I don't pay their salaries anymore because I don't pay taxes except when I buy gas or food. But you know what I'm talking about. Make their lives hell with a pen. The pen is mightier than the sword right now. You can use that and you can do some good stuff. I always tell you writing letters isn't any good, but make a cop's life miserable. Carry a video camera with you in your car. They're so cheap now and disposable. Keep one on your dash. Keep it rolling when they walk up. And if they don't like it, too bad. Make sure you get them on videotape beating you while they turn it off. I'm not saying resist, but I'm saying don't make it easy for them. They're going to use tricks and verbal persuasion. It's okay if I look in your trunk? Yeah, sure. No. Why? I don't say anything to them. I'm just like, no. Can't look in the trunk. But I don't drive anymore. My driver's license has been surrendered because I can't see very well anymore and I fall asleep while I'm driving. The days of Adam 12 are forever gone. That's right, Florida Dave. Florida V. I don't know how to say your name. Florida Dave. Sounds like you're into toothpaste. But yeah, that's right. To serve and protect is gone. Now it's to enforce and persecute. Enforce and persecute. Did I say that right? It should say that on the car. To enforce and persecute. And to rob and steal and cheat. Got another one today. A cop down in Southern California was just arrested for drugging, raping, and shaving all the hair off of another man. A police officer in Los Angeles arrested for drugging, raping, and shaving all the hair off another man. Now, his excuse was, well, we just showered together. I didn't do any of that. The guy's making it up. Uh-huh. I could go a whole nother tangent with letting sodomites on the police force. It's crazy. It's wacky. They're getting away with anything. They are super citizens. The only thing that has more power than an illegal alien with a lawyer is a cop with a gun. Think about that. An illegal alien with a lawyer can get whatever they want and do whatever they want. A cop with a gun even trumps that. I know what you're saying. People criticize me all the time. You don't respect law enforcement. You guys forget that I worked in law enforcement for many, many years. I've been a cop, a crime scene investigator, an arson investigator. I've been a fireman. I've been a military policeman. I have crossed police lines. I have sat with them when they do their reports. I have been there during interrogations. I have videotaped interrogations. I have videotaped searches and seizures of property. I have seen hostile custodies where the resistant, so-called resistant person, fights back and gets their head caved in. But funny, they're in shackles, full shackles, but they were resisting and hurt a police officer. I have witnessed these things. I have worked in jails. You guys, you know, I am 45 years old. I'm a month short of 45. Actually, a month and a day. A month and 2 days. I have had every job I've ever wanted. I have sought the truth and pursued the truth by working from the inside out. That has been my mission since I was a kid, and my father and my uncle taught me that there is a new world order. They didn't call it back then in the 70s. But there is a tyranny out there. I went inside and saw it firsthand. You don't have to believe me. You don't know. Well, a couple of you know me. I think one of you know me in there. Maybe two. It's real. The way they talk about you, the way they think about you, all they want to do is get to the end of shift, get to the end of their career, and collect their pension for the rest of their lives from you. Do you know what they're doing here in California? State employees in general, whether law enforcement or not. The state college system, they're suing to like quadruple their pensions. $28 billion in debt, and these guys want to take their pensions anywhere from $250,000 a year up into the millions. These public employee slugs. Trust me, I worked inside of it. I don't even know how many years. 1992 to about 2004? 92 to 2004. 12 years? Not counting my federal service. I worked inside of it, people. Every level. Public information. I moved around. I was like government employer's wet dream. I was willing to do everything. I was willing to work 16, 17, 18 hours a day for salary because I wanted to learn the truth. I wanted to get inside and see what they really did. So when I see the end result, the tip of the spear, oh, we're pulling everybody over after 10 p.m. here on this highway looking for drugs and looking for DUIs. Oh, DUI, was I swerving? No. Did you have a bolo out or be on the lookout for my vehicle being loaded with meth? No. Then why did you pull me over? Now, in reality, I can't do that because I'm going to get killed. I've already been told by the sheriff that they know who we are. They know what we're doing. They listen to the show. I don't know if anybody in here right now, there's a guest in here. It could be the sheriff. I don't know. When I stood up at that public meeting and said my name, Dutch Jones, which is the name I use now, first thing he said was, "We don't support the militia." They know who you and I are. They know who every one of us are. They have us on lists. Unless you're very fortunate and you're new to the cause and you haven't scratched the surface of anything and they don't know who you are, fine. Got a call today. Is he listening today? From an old friend. Well, not an old friend, but a recent new old friend. He was here 3 years ago. I haven't seen him for a while. He's having trouble at work because they found out that he's a patriot. He works in a hospital. A hospital doesn't like it when you're different. They're going to look for us. That's why we're going to take the bumper stickers off our cars. We're going to fix up one of our other cars, make it look like a hippie mobile. I swear to you, that's what we're going to do. I may not go as far as to put a coexist sticker on it. But the biblical doctrine of deceit, folks. Lie to the police, tell them nothing. Remember one of the early shows I did for you guys? I don't know if any of you were here years ago. No, I don't see anybody here who knew this 5, 6 years ago when I was doing this. The 5 words that you say to every police officer, I have nothing to say. You better be willing to spend a night in jail before you call your lawyer, your mom, your dad, your boss to bail you out, rather than hang yourself with them. Don't give them the opportunity. I have personally seen them use drug dogs that are trained to pretend there are drugs in vehicles. I've seen it. I've been there while I had to shut up and watch cops that I worked with do it, because I didn't want them to know, and I found other ways to get it out, and I've been the victim of it. And when I called them on it, they looked at me like, how do you know that? I said, well, I'm retired law enforcement. And then they get mad and they say, why didn't you tell us? I say, because I want to see how you treat people out here on the highway. Best experience I ever had is when they took my pistol from me and were all freaked out, told me I was going to prison for having a loaded gun. They ran the gun and it came back to law enforcement. They go, how'd you get this? I said, when I got out of the Army, the VA bought it for me and I went to work for a municipality and I've had that gun ever since. Well, why did you tell us that? Why? I wanted to see how you treat civilians. Terror, treason, and tyranny, Warland says. That's right. Warland, you got to get your own show. You got enough content in the chat room, you can do an hour easy. The scumminess government is all about terror, treason, and tyranny. And taking. Taking your land, taking your money, taking your children. They're going after homeschooling again here in California, folks. Don't think it's a lie. If your kid is unexcused, has 10 unexcused absences, you can go to jail as a parent and be fined and go to jail. They'll take your kids away now. They couldn't win with the other stuff. They tried to make it that we all had to have education degrees to homeschool our kids. So eventually they're going to go, hey, where's little Anderson? Where's little, you know, Squatchmo Anderson? Why hasn't he been in the public school system? And they're going to come looking for him. And they're going to tell us, well, he hasn't been in a public school. You haven't registered with the county to tell him you're homeschooling him. Well, here's your notice now. Get off my property. Where's your line in the sand? When are you going to let these magistrates know that you're not going to take their terror to your good works anymore? Don't be a terror to good works. If you learn a handful of things from the show, it's that tyranny is not right, but it's our responsibility to resist it. How do you resist it? Write those letters. Take out an ad in the paper like her pastor did. I can't wait to talk to him tonight about, hey, did you hear about what happened? Did you hear that they're stopping everybody at 10 after 10 p.m. just to search them, just to check them, to verbally intimidate them into opening up? Uh-huh. We live in a police state. California, Oklahoma, I can speak for as a police state. I've been there. I've been on the highway through Oklahoma. Those of you living in Oklahoma that listen, they use the excuse of the Oklahoma City bombing when they stopped us. I couldn't help but laugh. And then they got mad at me, and I started arguing with one of these young punks that hasn't had half the training or time on duty that I had, and he was telling me what my rights were. You're going to see this more and more, folks. I try not to go out and about, and some say, "May that's evasion. I'm evading them, the biblical doctrine of evasion. I'm avoiding the conflict, because right now I'm not strong enough. I don't have the resources to fight it in court. I don't have the physical ability to take a beating that they're going to be willing to give me. So I avoid it. I try to train you people. That's what this is about. The reason I do this show is to get you people mobile. And it's like the old shampoo commercial. And they tell two friends. Well, they wake up. And they tell two friends. And they tell two friends. If every one of you goes out and shares this show or the concepts of this show with two people, it's the way to go. This morning, Minuteman called me and told me about a short story. I got it. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I'm going to share that with you guys. It's all about sharing. We've got something they don't have. They're selfish. We're not. The cops, the politicians, the CPS workers, they may be working for Satan, but they're all in it for their own gain. We Christians, we militant Christians, are in it for the long haul for Jesus Christ. We're altruistic rather than selfish. I'm trying to make a better place for the Christians that come after me. The police, the city councilmen, the public service employees, they're just working for their stinking pension. And things in California are going to get nasty when he tells them they don't have a pension anymore. What's going to happen then, huh? What's going to happen then? You think it's just the gangs that are going to go nuts? Imagine a bunch of middle-aged, middle-class policemen going on strike. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't want to be in the cities. We're going to come back after the break. I don't think we're going to play a commercial because the new email, the new address for the store is just the main. Just, you know, so if we play a commercial, just disregard and wait. But know that we are still selling water filters and selling gear. It's our only form of income right now. It's our only form of income to sell gear. If you need gear, get it from us. Email us. We've got new catalogs. We'll go through them with you over the phone and describe stuff to you. We'll send you to the website. If our website's not up, we'll send you to the Voodoo Tactical. We'll send you to the Major Surplus. And I guarantee you, you'll get it a couple bucks less, and it'll be from us. We can drop ship it to you now. We set that up. You don't have to ship it to us. And then it's going to save us a lot of money. It's only going to cost us $3 extra to drop ship it to you. We're not trying to make a fortune. We're not doubling the price on this stuff. We're not getting a huge savings. We're just trying to make a living. And the extra money goes to keep this show on the air. Ramsey's Electronics. That's right. We do sell Ramsey's Electronics stuff, too. But, yeah, we can get those at discount unless they forgot about us. We'll be back after the break. I'm talking too much. I'm trying to sell stuff. I'm more worried about staying alive, feeding my family, and keeping on the air than I am about the topic. So I apologize, but that's the reality of economics. We'll be right back.
Bangsters. This happened back in 1910 plus 3. Well, those banksters said, we'll guard your gold and silver and issue paper money for a fee. Paper money, bogus money. It's been proven throughout history. It deceives you while it bleeds you as it leads you down to tyranny. So now we've got this private corporation which calls itself the Federal Reserve, whose purpose was to strangle our great nation and plunder from us wealth they don't deserve. Now those banksters sit on top our gold and silver, then warn us not to practice guile or greed.
and then charges compound interest on some paper, which they print up any time they feel the need. Paper money, worthless money, it's a nation's curse since times of old. Things won't ever get no better till we make the Fed give back our gold. Those banksters talk about a new world order and why the USA should play their game. Well, let's throw those traitors out and lock the border before we only have ourselves to blame. Paper money, funny money, it's a ticket stub to tyranny. Gold and silver is the answer. It will reinstate our liberty. We the people have the power. We can reinstate our liberty. We can reinstate our liberty.
Who will deny that Christ is the head of the church? And what human power has an impious presumption to invade his kingdom, usurp his authority, lay sacrilegious hands upon his crown rights, and with a state constitution flaunted in his face, proclaim the right of the state to challenge his ambassadors and put them under civil disability? Nay, more, to assert the right to say to his messengers of life and salvation, you are commissioned by your head and Lord to go preach the gospel to every creature, but you must first come and comply with the conditions prescribed by the state and obtain from some blasphemous, drunken, Christ-despising, heaven-defying civil magistrate the authority to teach and preach in the name of Jesus. To the superficial thinker, this may seem to be putting the case too strongly, but it is only the inevitable logic of facts. The state cannot confer the right to preach the gospel. Therefore, it cannot take it away. Christ is the head of the church, God over all, and blessed forevermore. All power is given unto him in heaven and earth, and he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
Government
is the problem. This is an emergency. Repeat, an emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Shut back down and shut your trap! It's time for...
That's Joe's... Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
That's what the white man calls it.
The white man calls it that? Oh, no, let's not get up on that racist thing. I've already been called anti-Semite today by several people. Oh, I got into this ongoing argument on YouTube about how Israel is an apostate state, that God had it destroyed under when Titus went in there in 68 to 70, and everybody got mad at me. I said, I don't hate Jews. I feel bad for the Jews. I wish they would accept Jesus Christ and get it over with and stop trying to rebuild their temple. But that's the kind of day I've been having. Everybody wants to fight with me today. I guess I'm just feeling in a mean way to go. Yeah, it is getting dark and foggy out there, Stace. We turn the lights on up here, and I'll have Lou go outside and make foghorn noises when you want to walk up. So be careful. I did see some Bigfoot and Wampus tracks, and I think there's a two-headed mountain lion walking around between the house and the studio, so be very careful. Also, Lou may have stacked firewood in front of the door. I don't know where he put it, But I cut up several logs, split several logs. So if you need one, throw it in there before you come up so that it'll be smoldering when we get in there, so the house will be nice and warm after Bible study. There, we've taken care of the family business. Let's get back to what's going on in the news. Now, all of you guys remember, well, not all of you guys. I shouldn't say that. See, I'm getting off on the wrong foot already. Many of the listeners of this fine show were saying that, oh, we've won a victory in the election. The Republicans are going to take over, and it's going to be wonderful. Well, those same people are also supporting Sarah Palin and all those folks for president coming up. And it's, you know, I heard Rosie O'Donnell's going to run for president. I'd rather vote for her than, no, that's kidding. She's going to run on the Green Tea Party, which is a ultra-socialist party. That's Roseanne Barr, Roseanne Arnold, whatever her name is. But Sarah Palin is coming out for, don't, you know, repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. She's been telling people, she's been working with Twitter, and sending out that she wishes people would leave the homos alone enough already, that they have a right to serve. So, see, they're going to start turning on you. They're going to start showing their real colors. They are sheeps in wolf's clothing. It's the other way around. They're pretending to be conservative Christians when they're really just moderates or worse. McCain, all those guys, they're going to sell you out. You know, they're already talking about compromising on raising taxes. This is a little bit of I told you so. I didn't think it would happen this quick. I didn't think they'd get to it this quick, but that's the way it's going. Here in California, you know, everybody, they wanted Jerry Brown in again. They had one good person running, Nightingale, and they ignored her. They're just greasing the slide into poverty for everybody when they're doing this. So that's what's going on there. This bird thing, I'm getting tons of emails of stuff I can't confirm. They're telling me that Brazil, hundreds of thousands of fish, Scandinavia, birds falling out of the sky. I don't have an answer, folks. At first I thought, well, maybe it was HARP, but how is it just dealing with one species of bird? And, oh yeah, I didn't talk about that. I'll get into that in the next subject. Thank you, Warlin. Yeah, I did look into that yesterday and today. This is freaky. I don't know how radio waves would pulverize the livers of all these different birds and fish. It's got to be biochemical. You know, maybe I'm surprised that the climate change people aren't saying, see this horrible weather, the fish dying and the birds falling out of the sky. I love how they keep covering up and saying it's fireworks. Fireworks. Yeah, I've been involved with fireworks, both watching them and as a fireman being involved in setting them off, and I've never seen flocks of birds fall. The first one goes off, they leave the area, period. Birds are smart that way. Birds are very smart that way. So if you've got birds falling in your lawn, give us a call. I want to know. 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. The phone ringing will keep Lewis awake. He's falling asleep. I think it's the allergy medicine that's making you sleepy. Because you slept for 36 hours. Yeah. I didn't wake you up till like afternoon. You're just so delirious and hopped up on this allergy medicine, you don't know what it is. Focus, Lou. Find a way to stay awake. It's good practice. And then the other thing in the news, Warland's reminded me, Dutch, did you know about the murder of former aide to the Reagan and Bush senior administration that was found in a landfill? His name was John Wheeler. I'm going to say two words, Iran-Contra. Something popped up, Ollie North got mad, something was going to come out, he decided to write a book, and that's what it's going to be, if we know it all. They're trying to say it's a random act of violence. How many armed robbers take the trouble of taking a dead white guy, putting him in a dumpster, or transporting him to the landfill? They get the wallet, they bust caps in his whitey butt, and they run. Iran-Contra. They found two guys down in Southern California related to Iran-Contra years later in the 90s who supposedly shot themselves out in the desert. Different cases, different places, but I remember them both. Loose strands. Sometimes they take a while to clip off. Just a good reminder that don't put your faith in the Republicrats either. They kill and eat their own. What did this guy know? What was he doing? What was he going to do? You know, it's funny, they probably hoped he'd never be found. He would have just disappeared like all those, you know, biochemists and everything like that. And Get out of my head, Warlin. He was also a chemical weapons guy. That's where I was going next. He's going to disappear like one of those guys. You know the stories about the car on the bridge, the door open to suggest the guy committed suicide? The Shah of Iran's youngest son this week committed suicide in a hotel room back east. What's going on here? All related to Reagan somehow. Maybe not. Maybe they're getting a push to do something. They're cleaning house or making sure the locker room, everybody's pulling the same way, and those that aren't are getting disposed of. They'll either kill them or destroy them in the media. Make them non-valuable people so that nobody will listen to them. Both sides are working together, folks. Don't think for a minute that they're not. They're just two edges of the same sword. So what do we do? And what do I want to talk about for the next, I don't know, what do we got, 20 minutes here? Some of the things that we always talk about here, about preparing, storing, putting stuff away, making sure you got your gear. Now, Minuteman put a bunch of good stuff in my head this morning. I was going to read the short story, but he pretty much gave me a synopsis on it. And if you could post that story again in there, I can't find it in my – I get like 200 to 300 emails a day now. I can't find the one you sent it to me. I got to make each of you your own file, and then I put it in that file when I get something from you, and that way I can refer back to it. I have organizational ineptitude in this, so I got to do that. But basically, it's a guy gets a – and I don't want to ruin the book for you, but somebody gets a cue, an inside message that something bad's going to happen in America. He goes and checks his gear, and it's not in the state it needs to be in. The guy's a prepper. The guy's got what he can, you know, he's got his gear together, but they've raided it for camping, they raided it for snacks, things were taken out and not put back, like gasoline. He had two extra gas cans, 5 gallons of gas, they were empty. Sends his wife and, I think it was his wife and daughter, wife and son to the 24-hour Walmart. Everybody hates Walmart, but you go where the quartermaster is and starts getting stuff. And it really opened in my mind several things. And it's funny because the day before, I was going through my gear seeing what I didn't have. And I'm going to share with you some of the additional things that we've done, plus tell a little, you know, if I go to the story or not. But if he posts it in there, it'll be good. And I think everybody should read it, and we can share back and forth our impressions of it. Hurricane lanterns at Walmart right now are $5. You know what I'm talking about? The old railroad lanterns, the glass. You put kerosene in them. You can put citronella oil in them. I've used olive oil in them. I've used all different kinds of stuff. Now, I've heard people using gasoline in them. That kind of scares me a little bit because it evaporates faster. You want something with a lower evaporation rate, like even diesel fuel or something maybe. I'm just speculating now, but the fact of it is you have to have these hurricane lamps with extra wicks. And what we did is we got the lamp oil with the insect repellent in it, the citronella. We bought a bunch of that, and we stashed that. We got wind-up lanterns that we have. We got them out. We wound them up. We made sure they worked, and we hung them around the house. What good are they in the basement when it's pitch black and I have to go down there and get them? Go down into the first floor. Have them ready to go. We just put hooks up in the ceiling, and we hung them up. Have them ready to go. We saw 10 flashlights for $10 yesterday. We didn't have the money to do it because we were getting other stuff. We ran out, but check your flashlights. I had a flashlight here during the show. Wouldn't work. I opened it up, and the AAA battery in it had corroded. We use that battery regularly. It's not something that got stuck in a drawer. We use that flashlight regularly. Boy, there came my stutter back from childhood. Check your flashlights. Check your illumination stuff. Check your candles. Make sure your matches actually work. We went out and bought a bunch of boxes of Strike Almost Anywhere matches. They're a pain. You got to use the Strike On box. So where we had separated them all up in the box, it didn't work. Where we put them with the candles, we checked that. Stock up on firewood. But I don't have a stove. I don't have a fireplace. You're going to be cooking over something in the backyard, even if it's a 55-gallon drum. It's for you people who decide you're going to stay in your location if you're not in the mountains. Usually, if you're in the mountains, you have a fireplace. Check all of your food. We had somebody yesterday, the day before, call me. He checked his food, and rodents had gotten into it. Because I had made the comment about the bay leaves. Check your food. You may be counting on something that's not there anymore or is contaminated. Field mice will destroy your hopes and dreams. We use 55-gallon drums to put all of our pasta and oats and everything in. We have 5-gallon buckets. We don't even have food-grade buckets. I don't even worry about finding food-grade buckets anymore. We just buy buckets. We clean them out. We put desiccant in them. We put bay leaves in them, and we store food. If you haven't visited your supply and you can't remember when, go check it. Take some scotch tape. Check it. Put today's date on it or the date that you check it. And then every 6 months you check it. Flip over your cans. Rotate your cans. If you find something that you can prove is over 2 years old, maybe rotate it out. Swamper 81 saying, check out the Foxfire books. I'm not familiar with what that is, so you may want to expand on that and share it, and we'll put it out. Thank you, Swamper 81. Collect up everything that you think you're going to need to get out of Dodge in 10 minutes and see if you can fit it in your car this weekend. We've got a little metal locker in our car that has basic survival, first aid, water, things like that, a weapon in there. And we keep it in there locked up in the car. And it's not very high. It's like 8 inches tall. And, you know, it's like the, because we have like a combat station wagon. It's one of those little SUV things. And we put it in there. And check it. But see if you can get your gear in and how long it takes you. Do a drill this weekend. I don't care if you're in 4 feet of snow. You think Calamity's going to wait for fine weather in spring? Nope. Only Hitler invades in the spring. Actually, he invaded in the fall, didn't he? Did he invade France in the spring? I can't remember which one it was. But so many of us that are hardcore at this, that are telling everybody how to do it, we neglect so much. I'm being honest here, people. Check your backpacks. Go see how many granola bars you grazed on in the last training that you went to, and now you don't have any granola bars in there. Sea salts. Go buy sea salts if you don't have them, storm everywhere. Check your jerkies, the dates on your jerkies, things like that. I can't stress enough Murphy's Law when it comes to survival. Set up your tent. Do you remember how to set up your tent? I love it when I go camping. You know, sometimes friends will get me to camp in some commercial site, you know, and I'm like, okay, I'll go. I love to just sit there. I'll bring a tarp and a sleeping mat and a sleeping bag, and I'll just put the tarp up somewhere. I don't put up a tent unless I've got the whole family with me. And I'll watch all the city folk going nuts trying to set up their tents around me, especially if it's like a holiday weekend. And then I watch the husbands and wives. You were supposed to get the poles. No, I told you to get the poles. Why don't you stand up, Lou, if you can't stay awake? Show me you can stay awake, Lou. There's no reason for you to be going to sleep. You got a videotape tonight. Always be training your kids. Use every opportunity to train him. Right now, he could be on guard duty and falling asleep and get everybody killed. He can't even stay awake during a radio show. Just being a teenager. I remember when I was a teenager having trouble. Oh, man, I just wanted to sleep all the time. Stay up really late and sleep all day. So I know what it's like, so stay awake, Lou. When I was your age, I was a lookout for armed robberies for my dad. If I'd have fallen asleep, we'd all be in the hooscow. How do you like that bit of reality? Huh? I never slept. Sleep is for wimps. You can sleep when you're dead. Pretty soon, if you keep falling asleep on guard duty, some hippie's going to come up and garrote you. But I love it when these people, they show up the stove, and they don't have the little hose that goes from the propane bottle to the burner, and they freak out, and they have to drive to the nearest town and pay a fortune for the parts. That's God kicking you in the head. People getting out sleeping bags and they never washed them the last time and they're moldy and nasty and smelly. Air out your sleeping bags inside if you have to. Check them out for tears. Check your gear, your webbing for tears. I'm not even talking Marshall stuff, just your basic survival gear. Take a look at everything in your survival gear and see that something hasn't leaked, something hasn't glued itself. I remember I used to keep super glue in all everywhere. Super glue everywhere, because super glue is great for everything, right? So it claims in the commercials. Plus, you can use it to close up wounds. I one time grabbed a survival vest, went out, and like my pocket, my left front pocket was glued shut because somehow the container got it. Everything in there, my compass, my fire starting gear was all glued together. Warland saying, rub some chewing tobacco in your eyes, Lou. I think I may do that. I'll get some Bengay and rub it in your eyes. That'll work. Yeah, maybe we could do a whole show on how to stay awake. I just use my Gerber tool and pluck nose hairs when I was on guard duty down in Central America. Pull out my multiplier and just start plucking nose hair. That keeps you awake. Here's my Gerber tool. He's just asleep again. Every 3 minutes he's falling asleep over there. I don't know why he's tired. He didn't do anything today. We worked on computers all day. Maybe that's it. Maybe I got to get them running around some more. Change all your water. If you can't remember when you put that water in those bladders and stuff, change it. Check your water purification bottles. See if the seals have been broken. As soon as you use one tablet, the rest of the tablets start to degrade. I don't know what the rate is. Read the bottle, but check it out. One of the things people overlook is bleach. Bleach is an amazing survival tool. Great for purifying water, cleaning, all that kind of stuff. You know, cleaning your waste product area. Make sure you have some current bottles of bleach. It's cheap. $1.50, $2 for a bottle. Get unscented bleach for purifying water. Unscented bleach. If you got any medical operational stuff going on, it's great for cleaning surfaces. Get some spray bottles. Do not store the bleach in the spray bottles. The bleach will erode them, and when you go to use them, they won't work, and it comes out all brown and yucky. Trust me, I've done it. Keep the spray bottles empty with the bleach bottles and do like a solution. You know, I do 25%. 25% bleach, 75% water. A 1-to-3 ratio. And we use that for cleaning of stuff. I've used it for cleaning of wounds. I've used it for cleaning eating surfaces. Bleach is amazing. And it's going to be something that, as far as I know, I don't know how to make it. So it's a luxury item, so you might as well buy as much of it as... If you can't make it, store it. Get enough stuff that you can store it. It's great for cleaning off cans. If you've got rodents running around on your stored cans. I mean, we put our stuff in the big plastic Tupperware bins. Those mice get in there. We stack them on top of each other. We put weights on them. I've taped them. You open it up, there's mouse turds in there on the cans. Wipe off every can with a little bit of bleach water before you open it. There's all kinds of Hunta virus. Now, the odds of getting it are slim, but why be taken out by something as stupid as that when you can just clean the cans every so often? That's why we like the 55-gallon drums. We've got 55-gallon drums. They're hard to get. You can buy them through majors. There's a huge shipping cost. But we get them locally from a printing place. Every once in a while we get one or two. And we fill them up with canned goods and oatmeal and things like that. And make sure, and we get the Titan containers on the top, make sure the bungs are tight. And we check them. We check them from time to time to make sure that nothing's happened, you know, with them. What I like about 50-gallon, 55-gallon drums, if you're putting, you know, oatmeal and rice in them, they get kind of heavy, but you can roll them. And that's for, you know, if I'm not a, I'm not going to go on the run with a 55-gallon drum. But it might be nice to have it at your retreat or to stash along the way. And I look at that kind of bulk items. It might even be barter items. You know, here's a cup of oatmeal. What do you got for me? You got a cup of seeds? Things like that. So keep a checklist. Keep an inventory. Keep focusing on what you're going to be able to do and what you're not going to be able to do with your finances and set goals. Hit the secondhand stores. We haven't reiterated that in a long time. Secondhand stores, backpacks, sleeping bags. We went to the secondhand store in Visalia. There must have been a dozen tents and sleeping bags there. I don't know why people are getting rid of them. It's like everybody's getting rid of their camping gear. I found stoves. I found, like I said, the lanterns. I don't get the pump-up Coleman lanterns that have the little bulbs. I've just never used them. It's not something I'm comfortable with. I don't like them. I like battery-operated and liquid fuel stuff and crank-up. And I have it there. So maybe that's a shortfall on my part. I need to learn how to use them. I've been around them. I remember when I was a kid burning my hand on one because I grabbed it. Maybe that's why I have an aversion to them. But if you're going to get those, get all the little bulbs, those little mantles they're called. Get all those. Learn how to use them and know what fuel's going what. Don't put the wrong fuel in anything. I've heard horror stories of people blowing up those lanterns and the stoves that they pump up, the old-fashioned ones. If you're going to stay in place someplace, you know, you fall back. Find ways to store propane bottles for heating and food and stuff like that. Swamp Ready One says $10 for black 55-gallon drums also makes good warm water storage. Excellent point. Black drums, put them up on a roof, fill them full of water, catch rain reservoirs, whatever, rain catch reservoirs, run a hose off of it, you've got warm water for showers and stuff. We had a cabin in Colorado where it would get 20 to 30 below. My uncle built a encased box on the roof, and he ran black garden hose through it. I don't know how many hundred feet of black garden hose through it. And then he kept a cistern where it caught it and would catch the rainwater, and it would heat it up. Even on the coldest day, you would get warm water. In the summer, you got scalding hot water. We rigged up a shower inside, a drain that went out. We recycled the water. It went, you know, we would catch it in another drum. soapy water and all that, but, you know, hey, you got to be realistic here. We just told everybody don't pee in the shower. We would use it for secondary cleaning of things outside and, you know, stuff like that. You can boil it. But, yeah, big black barrels or black plastic with a black garden hose and a piece of plexiglass over it. You can heat up water. Warm water's a luxury. Hot water's a luxury. But what a luxury it is when you're miserable. What a luxury it is when you're miserable. I've been finding, strangely enough, these foldable Japanese bathtubs, because everybody in Japan has limited space. They make these foldable bathtubs that you can use, you know, in conjunction with your toilet and your sink and all that. And you know, you drain it into your shower. I think these things would be a good thing to get or make your own. The military makes them. I haven't found any for a while. But I put Japanese folding tubs, and they make them. Now, if you're a huge guy, if you're 6'8", 300 pounds, it's not going to work for you. They make them small for people in Japan. All of us are under 5'7 here, and we're going to, you know, that's going to be great. So we're going to try to get one of those. If I can't get one, I'm going to make one. Big metal tub, but they're not very portable, is it? But you can do it. You can do it. Now, we have, we don't have them up yet, but when the website gets up, we have several wood-burning stoves for, I think they're under $100 each, which is funny because they're illegal in California now. But we can sell them, you know, hopefully they'll ship them to you if you're in California. But they're these cabin stoves, tent stoves, those kind of things, way to go. You keep you warm. They've got cooking surfaces on them. They're portable once they cool off. They come with enough stovepipe to get through like a cabin roof or a tent, and you can buy extra lengths. We'll get those on the website when we get it up, when Lou gets it up, and we can start showing more stuff on there. And Lou has revamped the whole website. Is it up now?
No.
Okay, it's not up yet.
Well, it would have been.
It would have been, but tell them what we made you do. We made you what?
Take a shower.
They can't hear you because you pushed the mic way over here. What did we make you do, Lou?
Take a shower.
Yeah, Lou had to take a shower. It's that time of the season again. So he didn't get to finish his computer work. He's going to get the new website up probably tomorrow. And you're going to put up a poll to see if people like it. And if you guys like it, we'll keep it up. We're trying to make it more user-friendly. We can't figure out why people aren't buying stuff from us. Our prices are cheaper than you can get it from... I guess nobody has any money. I guess that's just it. Nobody has any money. But if you're looking for gear, we'll get it up. We're about to take a break here. Lou's half asleep. Well, he's all asleep. And what we're going to do is we're going to come back on Liberty Tree Radio. I got no idea what we're going to talk about. The stuff that I was going to talk about, people bailed on me. So I was going to surprise you with something. But we'll come back. I can fill it. We'll talk more about survival stuff. You guys like that? Help me out. Let me know what you want to talk about. We'll be right back.
Deny that Christ is the head of the church, and what human power has impious presumption to invade his kingdom? usurp his authority, lay sacrilegious hands upon his crown rights, and with a state constitution flaunted in his face, proclaim the right of the state to challenge his ambassadors and put them under civil disability, nay, more, to assert the right to say to his messengers of life and salvation, you are commissioned by your head and Lord to go preach the gospel to every creature, but you must first come and comply with the conditions prescribed by the state and obtain from some blasphemous, drunken, Christ-despising, heaven-defying civil magistrate the authority to teach and preach in the name of Jesus. To the superficial thinker, this may seem to be putting the case too strongly, but it is only the inevitable logic of facts. The state cannot confer the right to preach the gospel. Therefore, it cannot take it away. Christ is the head of the church, God over all, and blessed forevermore. All power is given unto him in heaven and earth, and he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
Government is the problem.
Is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
I'm waiting.
Yes, all right.
Lou, wake up, man. He was like asleep. He missed his cue. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program, and welcome to our Liberty Tree Radio listeners. We are bringing you the militant Christian worldview. Lou's dying over here. Let me turn down your mic so they don't get any on him. Are we live now? It seems like we're live now. What are you doing?
Recording.
Recording? Why would we want to record any of this? They'll just use it in court against us. Okay, we're back, guys. We are back. No, go ahead and record it. I was kidding. Starting because he doesn't think I was serious. people are maybe listening to the very beginning. I don't know, but we are live again. If we get knocked off again, it's because of the fog. Our satellite does not work in the fog. It blocks the signal, and what I want you to do is just, I don't even think you can take the first part. There's no, it didn't record the first part, did it?
No.
So we lost it, so you can't even take the first hour. So let me know if you guys are hearing me now. Say, yes, we're hearing you now, and then I'll know to keep going. Otherwise, you guys are looped. And this is the problem we're going to have until we get into a new location. Promises made, offers made, but we're still here, still using a satellite on the side of a mountain that is affected by weather, cloud cover, all those kind of things. As soon as I know we're back out. Okay, good. Thank you, Mary. I will run with it now. I know if Mary can hear us, that's good. Some breaking news here. Actually, it's not breaking news. It was at 5:51 p.m. Eastern time, so it was a while ago. Another school shooting. Another one of these things are going to exploit. This was the son of a police detective, shot and wounded the principal and assistant principal of his high school on Wednesday, then shot himself in his car a few blocks away, authorities said. Now, this guy's name is Richard Butler Jr. Richard Butler. Why do I know that name? Was there another shooter named Richard Butler? What? Oh, I know. Robert Butler. This is Robert Butler. See, I put it together. I don't know who Richard Butler is. He's one of those white supremacist fanatics. Robert Butler, maybe his grandfather was Richard Butler, who transferred in November to Millard South High School, left a suicide note on the social media site that said that school drove him to this. Of course, he's going to blame the school. It's probably going to come out, and I'm going to read through. I'm not even going to read this because I don't want to honor these maniacs. They said that the female assistant principal is in critical condition. The principal, Curtis Case, was in stable but serious condition. And it's going to come out this guy was probably on psychotropic drugs. They're showing the kid. He looks like just an average kid, you know, nothing exceptional about him. But the suspect's father is an Omaha police detective. Moved to a new school in November, probably got bullied. They'll blame it on bullying. When I was a kid, I moved to 27 different schools, not because my dad was in the military, but because we were fugitives from the law. And I'm being honest. And every single school, I either got the tar beat out of me or I stood up and fought. It kind of ebbed and flowed depending on how big the... Oh, now look at this. Who's calling me now? What's up with that? Don't call me now. I don't know who that is. Who's doing that? Great. Okay, here. Read that and text her back. Somebody's texting me right in the middle of the show and they know I'm on the show. Are you guys listening? Scared me to death. My phone just started singing to me. But every school I went to, I got into fights. I got over it. I'm not maladjusted. I didn't shoot nobody that didn't deserve it. Just kidding. These schools are battlegrounds and petri dishes for creating these psychopaths. And it's just going to continue. There'll be some copycatters coming up. Watch, two or three more. Hopefully they won't be as bad. Hopefully just the gunmen will kill themselves. I have no pity for these kids. I really don't. I mean, my life has been so terrible, so bad, I never brought a gun to school to shoot my classmates or principal. And my life was terrible. You would have to go pretty hard to find a life that's worth. It would have to be involved torture and sexual abuse, probably to get worse than my life. Abject poverty, no hope for a future, criminal parents, drug abuse in the family, alcoholism in the family. And I never once thought, well, if I go shoot some people at school, that'll solve my problems. No, if somebody bullied me, I stood up and I fought and I got knocked down, or they respected me and things were good. Up until high school, I never finished a school year anywhere. Think about that. I never finished a school year in the same school that I started it in up until my freshman year in high school when my family finally settled down and my dad got a legitimate job. I never once thought of that. What's wrong with these people? I was on the shooting team at school. I tell these stories. I bring guns to school to shoot in the basement. They had hunter safety classes at our schools. It's insane. Kids going to schools and shooting principals. I wouldn't mind to punch a few teachers, but I didn't even do that. Because I knew it was wrong. Our society's been decayed and destroyed to such a level that I don't see a hope of it. People get mad at me. I get the emails. Oh, you're supposed to be a Christian. I go, well, I have a hope of a great afterlife. Eternal life with Jesus Christ. Amen. But this world that man has created for himself, and I don't blame Satan. It's easy to say he's out there walking around and people are working for him. But like when I was talking in the first hour about the cops, they do what the humans do what they do out of greed. Whether they know they're working for Satan or not, they're doing it because they love themselves more than they love their fellow man and definitely more than they love Jesus Christ. And that is the problem. Somebody's offering a building that we could use to transmit from. Yeah, that would be the problem. The daily gas getting down there would cost more than the rent that we would pay on a building up here with the cars we have. But thank you, MBG. I appreciate that. I think we're past the point of restoration, but there can be a great awakening in this nation. There can be. But it's got to start in the pulpits, and I just don't see the pastors of this country doing anything more than getting up and talking about, hey, this week we're going skiing. Hey, next week it's a football party. Hey, let's all get together and send a bunch of money to Israel. Right? Moreland's got a good point. Doesn't Satan promote greed? Yeah, Satan promotes greed, but greed is in the heart of every man and every woman that decides to act on it. Satan can't make you do something against your will. Too many people blame Satan. He's just the poster child for that way of thinking. He's not omnipotent. He's not all-powerful. He is exactly what he is. He is a fallen angel. And just like the angels can't make all men be good, Satan can't make all men be bad. This whole possession thing and everything, you know, we see about the Catholics really promote. I do believe in demonic possession, don't get me wrong, but that has to do with willing recipients too. willing recipients who play that game and go there. So the evil that exists in America, the politicians, the police, the soldiers, down to the serial killers and the baby rapers, they do it because they want to, not because someone's making them do it. They are just as responsible for their actions of evil as you and I are responsible for our actions of good. The difference is we give credit to Jesus Christ, not because he forces us to do it, but because we allow him to work through us, because he is all-powerful. He is all-powerful. We just can't sit back and make excuses like that. Sometimes we have to admit that the best thing possible for all of this is for it to just collapse. You've got guys like Glenn Beck screaming and yelling that we've got to fix everything. More power to him if it works. You've got great people like Chuck Baldwin saying, you know, hey, we can restore the republic. But I've studied man enough to know, and then with the numbers that we have today, we be outnumbered. I know, with God on our side, we are a majority. I don't pretend to know God's plan. But unless these people humble themselves and get on their knees and pray to God, he's not going to answer their prayers. He's not going to answer our prayers. Maybe not the way we like them. We're headed for a cleansing. We're headed for, what do they call those, a crucible. They're going to dump in a bunch of material and the silver and the scum and everything's got to be separated. And unfortunately, we who dwell in this world are going to be part of that. But the good news is that the Lord will reward us for our faith and our honesty and our and sticking to it, like Job. And it won't be as bad as what happened to Job. I don't think it's going to be that bad. I'm not one of these end times fanatics that thinks it's going to be fire and brimstone from the sky. I don't think that's coming yet. And if it does, fine. God's in charge. I'm just here for the ride and going to do what he tells me to do, and hopefully I'll be smart enough to figure that out. Because God doesn't talk to me. I'm not one of these guys that, you know, I hear, Dutch, tell them about this or that. No, he doesn't do that to me. Tell them I'm coming and I'm very upset. I can guess that, but I don't hear voices. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a prophet. I'm barely a good Christian. And some days, like today, I'm not a good Christian. And the thoughts I'm having, we have to, the residue that's out there, I love that Minuteman said we're a residue. Not a remnant, a residue. Because there is a remnant, but they're pulling in a different direction, I think, than what most of us are doing. And then you've got the remnant that think only white folks are going to get salvation and only white folks are going to be honored by God. I'm not that guy. I think there's a residue of us that want to survive so that our kids can live in a free world. Right now, in my lifetime, I have lost more freedom in my lifetime than this country has probably lost in 100 years. From 1900 to 2000, you take the freedoms that were lost in that period, and then you compare it to what's been lost since 1966 to today. When the Fabian Socialists took over Washington after the near revolution in the 60s and the 70s. Look at how many rights we've lost. You people know it, and I don't want to be redundant. Permits, licenses, taxation, telling you when and where you can live, where your kids go to school, what you can say in public. You know, I may be one of these guys that's, you know, you could label me doomsday, but that's not it, because I think it has to get bad before it gets better. I don't think it's going to get bad and that's it. And how are we going to make it better? By teaming up, by continuing to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the nations of the land. No, this isn't practical Christianity. It's not Thursday. That's tomorrow. But I kind of got moved to do this. I was talking about survival stuff the first hour, and God knocked us off the air, so I maybe think he wants me to talk a little bit about him. I've been kind of neglecting him lately. Pray hard, pray early, and then do what you got to do to survive. Pray hard, pray early, set aside time for the Lord. Everything you do, ask, is this something that God wants me to do? Is this something Jesus Christ? What would Jesus do? People hate that, but you know what? I kind of like it. It's a constant reminder. What would Jesus do? You know, I could sit here all day and point a finger and yell about the sodomites and the communists and all that, but what good is that going to do you and me? It's easy to identify what's wrong with America, a little harder to identify what's right with America. But what are we going to do to make it better? What are we going to do to restore these civil liberties and rights that have been stolen from us? I had somebody send me this email. I don't think he knew I did a radio show. Because he's like, well, how many letters have you written? How many politicians have you called? I just put a link to the radio show and said, here, why don't you listen to what I've been doing for like 5 years? I don't know how many shows are. I think we got maybe a year and a half up. But I made sure, you know, we're all out doing it. And he's right. You know, he's right for bringing that up. Are we doing enough? Are we doing enough to prepare our families? Let's make it micro. Let's make it micro. What are you doing to be a good leader of your family, you men out there? You women out there, what are you doing to be a good helper to your men? Are you looking for deals? Are you clipping coupons? Are you finding ways to squeeze every penny so you can buy extra food? Or are you looking at those luxuries that you want? Are you saying, wow, we really need a big screen TV? Oh, we've got to do this. We've got to do that. Let's go skiing in Tahoe. That's where my daughter is right now. She just called me. Skiing in Tahoe. Oh, how I wish I was blind to what was going on in the world and I could just enjoy something like that. Think of the money these people are spending on these things that they could be spending on helping someone or making your family more ready. I don't think any family is 100% ready. I know guys that are super preppers that are still going, man, I'm behind the eight ball. I've only got 2 years worth of food up. I only got 5 years worth of food. I only got three caches set up and I need five. Oh, I can't find the kosher spam. I'm looking all over. I need more kosher spam. That's what Lou keeps telling me. He's into kosher spam. I don't know what kosher spam would be or what it would taste like, but he can have all he wants. I don't want to part any part of it. Or halal, the Muslim holy food. So maybe we should get less vocal about what everybody else is doing and get more active and focused on what we're doing. I put this stuff out every night. Sometimes it's redundant. Sometimes you're like, what is this guy talking about? Like the last two shows. These are the best shows you've ever done. They're intense. They're full of information. And okay. And then this show today is kind of disjointed and out there because I spent the day trying to get our website up and trying to tell people that we need to sell stuff and trying to make arrangements to get money for the radio show. So I'm always doing something, and it hurts the show when I have to spend that kind of time. I know that. But we need people. We need good people. We need everybody to get into groups of two or three or more, not probably more than seven or eight, two or three families that can get along, can pass the Winnebago test, and start working together. And it's going to be like an infection. You'll find others. I'm getting calls every day from people that either haven't been around for a few years, I've talked to in passing at some kind of show and handed them a flyer, and they went looking for it again because they're like, hey, wait, the stuff he talked about is coming true. Not because I'm a prophet, but because I listen to other people. I mean, look at gasoline. What did Lindsey Williams warn us about? He didn't foresee it. He wasn't a prophet. He was told that this was going to happen by the powers that be, and it's happening. By summertime, we're going to be at $5 a gallon here in California. They're warning us. I'm not going to be going anywhere. I don't have $5 a gallon to spend on this radio show, food, much less gasoline to travel. Which means I'm not going to be able to go 40 miles to get my food. I have to plan for that in my head. I have to think about that and come up with a strategy that tells me, okay, our budget is going to get cut in half for fuel. Right now we're paying about $3.40 a gallon. It's going to go up another $1.50. So basically we're not going to be, right now it's killing us. No point in spending too much time on that, but we should be storing fuel now. We should be getting the fuel preservatives. We should be making sure that if we can't get around, the things that we're going to need to go far for that we have now on hand. If there's something that I have to go to Fresno to get, I better get it now and stock up on it now because I'm not going to have the gas to go 70 miles one way or it's 80 miles one way. We better start saying our goodbyes to people because I'm not going to be visiting them. They want to see me, they're going to have to come up here or listen to the show. And I don't mean to be harsh, but I don't have the time to be wasting my family's money. So he just sent me like a nasty picture. I don't know why you did that. I'm going to delete you. That was kind of weird. I get all things. I guess I'm getting fans. I think, in a sense, ham is an unclean meat. They can't eat it. But they're talking about kosher food. I haven't been looking at the chat room. The side chats are always good. I encourage you heartily to sign up and get into the You Broadcast chat room. They talk about, and it's not like they're off topic. They're listening. It's not an insult to me. I learn stuff from them. I love it when they do that. So they get in there and they talk about side things, and you're going to learn just as much from the chat room some nights as you do from me. Maybe more. So I'm telling everybody, if you've got money now, if you've got things you can liquidate now, do it now, because it's only going to get more expensive. It's only going to get harder to get. Food prices are going up. We're watching the pork. Speaking, they're talking about pork. We eat pork, the other white meat, and it went up in price within the last month that we bought pork, didn't it? We were looking at the. We didn't even buy any. Well, I think we bought one slab of it. We've got a lifetime supply of chicken, and Lou's really good at getting quail and all that kind of stuff with his pellet gun. So we're not going to go hungry. In fact, tonight, I don't know if I told you guys in the second hour, I ate broccoli again and celery and tuna today. That's all I've had, and oatmeal. I'm trying to get myself into the diet that we're probably going to have post-collapse. The things we grow, the things we've stored. We have wild hog up here. Yes, we do. We got wild boar, big boys, 200-400 pounders, I'm told. I've only seen some of the 250, 300 pounders. The bigger ones are farther up. But I got to get used to what I'm going to be eating. I'm fat. I have not buffeted my body for Christ. I've tried. And I'm not making excuses, but every time I go to the gym or get on a bike or something, I injure myself. So I've got to just say, you know what? I can't do it by exercise alone. I got to stop eating like, you know, John Goodman or Orson Welles, which I don't. I don't really eat that much anymore, but I got to balance it. We're looking at calories now. We're getting ready because when it happens overnight, it's going to be terrible. I remember before I joined the Army, I had all my friends that were 6 months, a year older than me, had gone into the Army ahead of me, and they gave me all kinds of advice. Get up, start running, start eating better, start, you know, learning how to make a bed, which I didn't know how to do, learn how to iron your clothes, all these things. I benefited from their experience. I didn't do everything right. I got real good at running. I didn't bulk up because I was 114 pounds. They said, do anything you can to bulk up short of steroids. We didn't have steroids in the early 80s. If we did have them, they didn't hit our town. So I tried to put on weight a little bit but gave up on it. I was more interested in being spry and running. I didn't put the weight in my pack like they told me to because I was lazy, but I ran. I got up every morning at 4. For the 6 months prior, I was on the delayed entry program. I look at this period as we're in now as that same time in my life when I was 17 years old, getting ready to go into the U.S. Army, and I didn't use it as wisely as I could have, but I'm trying to make up for that now. I'm asking you guys to do the same. Clean out your gear. Organize your gear. Make lists. Plan your bug-out routes. I'm going to keep hitting this stuff because one of these days you're going to tune this in and I won't be here. I won't be here, and I'm not going to give you any warning unless I can. I will try to. We should all see it coming when that day comes, but there may be a day that I have to flee to the hills. I'm already in the foothills. I may have to go up higher, because when they come after me, I don't want to be around. Things get ugly and the power goes out, that's it. We stop sharing. I'm not going to pedal a bicycle hoping that somebody's going to pedal a bicycle on the other end to hear this. If we get shortwave, maybe, I don't know. But if we start buffeting our bodies now and preparing our hearts, minds, and souls for the challenge, how much easier will it be then? You don't just go and run a marathon, and that's what we're looking at, folks. Survival in a post-economic collapse, in a tyrannical attack, in a Holocaust, whatever you guys want to call it, is the equivalent of running a marathon. Those that survive are the lucky and the prepared. I'm not counting on lucky. I am not counting on lucky. I am not a lucky guy. I could spend all my money, every day I had money, on lottery tickets, and I would never even win $2. Luck has never been an issue with me. because it doesn't exist. The only reasons I've ever got through troubled times or hard times is the grace of God, which I see in retrospect, and my ability to think or work my way out of it because I've got the skills. Whether it's it was a barroom brawl, whether it was being stranded on a hunting trip in a whiteout, whether it was a car crash in the middle of the mountains, whether it was being lost in Central America, I was delivered from those things because of the grace of God and my skills and remembering training and learning from experiences that others have shared with me. If you can't learn from other people, you're going to have a hard life. I've always found those people that fail the most are the ones that don't learn from other people. I'm not talking about sitting there being preached to, but looking at an older brother or sister and saying, you know what, I'm not going that route. All my brothers and sisters went the same route, drugs, violence, alcohol. They've all been in and out of prisons. They've all had these up and down lives. Mine's been pretty steady. Not great, but steady because I didn't deal with drugs. I tried to stay away from crime as much as I could in a family of criminals. I tried to learn from them. So now we've got all these great people to learn from, people that have been doing this a lot longer than I have. Find them. Listen to them. Don't just listen to this one show for an hour or 2 hours and go, oh, I know what I'm doing. Don't go download our manuals and go, well, I'll read them someday. Now is the time to be reading this stuff. One of the key things that I've always looked up and tried to find is just basic old survival books. The old stuff. The old stuff written in the 1800s. The Things a Man Needs to Know was one book that somebody gave to me. It was a reprint of an old book. It's called The Things a Man... Yeah, we'll have... Oh, you're going to have a training page on the new website?
Yeah, it's going to have free and paid.
Oh, cool. Lou's working on it, so I'll be looking for that. Lou, I don't know if you can hear him. His voice is really low because of the allergies. Well, we're going to take a break here. It's time for a break, Lou. I know you weren't paying attention because you're sick, but go ahead and roll the music, and we'll be back after this break.
Sacred ground deserves my all, no less for God. Freedom's call, and if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. It was purchased with the blood of patriots, consecrated for liberty, protected through the generations. Now the future rests with me. This sacred ground deserves my all, no less for God, for freedom's call. If my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. Who'll answer the cry for warriors? Who'll be there at the battle line? Lift up a prayer for courage. Who will bury me if I die? This sacred ground deserves my all, no less for God, for freedom's call. And if my life laid down, let it be on sacred ground. If I should die, watch over my family. My brother shed no tears for me. I will be among the all freedom's call. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground.
Gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me! Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point bum. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention! Attention!
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Bats, Jones, and Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
We're back. They're talking about Tabasco and Spam. That's another thing. Put Tabasco sauce in all your kits. It lasts forever. Well, not forever. But make sure you've got enough Tabasco sauce to work down the rough stuff. That's how I always like putting it. One of the things we did, we're back. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. I'm kind of in a bad mood today, and I don't know why. Well, I know why, but I can't share it with you. It's nothing the rest of you aren't dealing with. What?
I just woke up.
I can't hear you, Lou. It didn't sound good at all. Yeah, it said I just woke up. I can't. Let me see. Maybe my headphone's not loud enough. Where's my headphone? Do it again.
I just woke up.
You're always asleep, Lou. That song during the break, Lou, post the name of the song. It's like Sacred Crown by Steve Voss, right? So, be thinking ahead. That's all we're saying. I posted a verse in there, 2 Chronicles 7:14, King James. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I have complete faith in God that He would do that, that if this nation would get on its knees and pray, that He would heal our land and heal our social issues, heal our political issues, heal our personal issues. The problem is I have no faith in man. Man will not humble himself. I meet very few humble people in my day-to-day travels and journeys on the internet or in face-to-face. Humbleness is not in abundance in this land. That's why we're headed for a hard time. God promises everything. You got to realize there's a negative to that, too. If we don't humble ourselves, He will do nothing to stop this downward spiral. So because we're in a downward spiral, you're going to need to stock up on Tabasco sauce, gravies, mixtures, spices, all that stuff, to make life a little more livable. Because we are absent from God as a nation. Maybe not as you and I. So that's the way we go. Oh, don't bang the microphone there, genius. This gear's got to last us till the end of the world, you know. Keep trying to break it. So that's where I'm at today. I found that verse, and it's just, yeah, I have faith in God. I don't have any faith in man. I found man to be pathetic. I found man to be weak. Count on him letting you down, and you will not be surprised. So that's where we have to go. Some of the other things that I've been focusing on lately in my own personal life for survival, reading, like I said before the break, everything I can that's older. How to Build a Cabin. Now, I'm not going out and putting my hand to it, but we've got the book. I'm reading it. I'm getting better with an axe. I'm not ready to build a log cabin, but I'm taking an axe and splitting wood. One of the things that I've never dealt with is a chainsaw. So we went out and got the stuff. We've got a chainsaw that somebody loaned us. They told me it works. I don't know if they're in the room. I'm hoping it works because we've got some extra long wood that will not fit in our puny little stove. So these are skills that I've neglected as a man. I should have learned these as a kid. I grew up more like a poacher than a pioneer. Let's put it that way. We broke a lot of things, made things work. We didn't always do things the smart way. So I have to relearn some things. And I'm sure that you guys are on the same path I'm on, unless you're, you know, Mountain Man Mike and have lived in a cabin your whole life. The other thing I was thinking today, and I'm not going to get off on a tangent because it kind of fits, the only people that this really isn't going to matter to when the economy breaks are the homeless. The truly homeless, not the guys that are psycho and getting Social Security, not the people that are sitting out there and getting $100 a day, but the people that are living out of dumpsters, have learned to live on the edge of society, have learned to live under the overpasses, are wearing the same clothes they've worn for six seasons and just keep putting on more layers as the other ones rot away. Not that that's a good tactic for survival. It's the lowest form of comfort. Those people won't be affected. Those people that will be affected the harshest are the penthouse crowd, are the...